You know, isn't it wonderful to be shown mercy? You know, we all need to be shown mercy. Every day we need mercy. How many of you would agree? I know this doesn't apply to you, but I know I've been pulled over for speeding. Can you believe that? I know. But what do you do when you see the blue light? You start praying, amen? You start praying for what? For mercy. All of us know what it is to pray that our teachers show us mercy. You know, maybe some of us have had to stand before a judge. And what do? We plead for mercy, for leniency. You know, we live in a world that's so depraved, so in need of the living God. We live in a world that needs the mercy of God. But this morning I want us to not only realize the fact that we need mercy, but that we need to give mercy. If we receive mercy, shouldn't we want to be people that give mercy? And we see that in one of the Beatitudes. In fact, it's the fifth Beatitude. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, we see in verse 7 these words. And of course, these are words from our Lord. Blessed, he said, Matthew 5 verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, the first four Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, deal with the inner workings of the heart and mind. In other words, they are consumed with the way we see ourselves before God. Well, the last four Beatitudes, the one that we just mentioned, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, are outward manifestations of these attitudes. For example, when a Christian is poor in spirit, he will be merciful. Humble people are merciful people. When a Christian mourns over his sin, he will seek to be pure in heart. When a Christian is meek, he will seek to make peace. When a believer hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he is willing to suffer for the cause of righteousness. But for our focus today, I want us to look at the fifth Beatitude, which is blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And again, when a believer is poor in spirit, he will be merciful. Proud people are not merciful people. Now, our outline this morning has 3 points, and the first one is we are going to define mercy. And then secondly, we will give examples of mercy in action. And then our third point, a compassion in action, sympathy in action. And then our third point, we will see the result of mercy. All right, point number one, what is the definition of mercy? Well, the Greek word for mercy means active pity, active pity. Mercy is alive. It's not something stayed or dead. It's active. Its Hebrew equivalent means to get inside someone else's skin until we can see things through that person's eyes. We can think things through that person's mind. We can feel things with that person's feelings. In other words, we sympathize with the person to whom we are showing mercy. And let me put it this way, the word sympathy is derived from 2 Greek words which mean to experience things together with the other person. To experience things together with the other person. And so, as merciful people, we then walk in someone else's shoes. We walk in that person's shoes. And isn't it true that when you begin to think, why does this person do what he does? Why does he act the way he does? Why is his response this way? It helps us greatly to understand more why that person is doing what he's doing and how we should then respond. Our attitude, our action is one then of compassion. Now, mercy is obviously not innate to us. It's not a natural attribute of man. Anger, wrath, malice, lying, unkindness, unforgiveness, those are natural to us. Which therefore tells us mercy is of God. It's a gift to us from God. It is a gift that is available to us with the new birth, in other words, with salvation. And thereafter, it is a continuing work of God's Spirit in the heart of him who is humble in spirit, who is poor in spirit. And through the Spirit's work, the merciful Christian comes to have the same attitude toward man that God has towards us. Clement of Alexander once stated that the true believer, true Christian, practices being God. And remember, Jesus went about doing good. He went about doing good. His heart was marked by, it was moved by compassion. Remember, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Does that describe the word sympathy? And so, what is mercy? It is active pity. It is compassion. It is sympathy. Which brings us now to our second point, which is examples of mercy in action. The sympathetic act of pity is practiced, is manifested. How this compassion is put into action. Well, let me give you three ways that it is. Number one, the first and most obvious way we can show mercy is through physical acts of kindness. In other words, we become good Samaritans. And therefore, in serving others, we feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We visit the sick. We give any other practical helps that are needed to those who we see need those things. Mercy is the heart that gives. There's a portion of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let me just read a few verses there. Chapter 15, beginning with verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one that of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction. And then, of course, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so there are physical ways we can, physical acts of kindness that we can show. A second way mercy is practiced is by our attitude, which tells us mercy does not hold a grudge. It does not harbor resentment. It does not take advantage of people. Rather, it forgives. Its focus is on what is true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of a good report. Augustine, who practiced mercy by feeding many, many people, inscribed on a great big table where those folk ate the following words: "Whosoever thinks that he is able to nibble at the life of absent friends must know that he is unworthy of this table." I ask you, are you unworthy of the Lord's table? Now, the merciful are not like the proud priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan, who pass by on the other side. Rather, they stop and they give both their heart and their hands. And remember, when we pass by others to whom we can show mercy, we have also passed by Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, Christ stated, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So we manifest mercy physically, we manifest mercy emotionally. And then third, we can show mercy in a spiritual way, spiritually. And we do so first through pity. Our theologian so aptly stated, "If I weep for the body from which the soul is departed, should I not weep for the soul for which God is departed?" The merciful grieve for lost souls. And don't we see this pity, this mercy, as Jesus hung on the cross? For his executioners, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To the penitent thief hanging beside him, he said, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." To his mother, Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he turned to John and said, "Behold thy mother." I mean, and he was doing all of this while he was hanging again on a cross. He was not seeking mercy. He was giving mercy even while he hung, dying, suffering on the cross. I say, wow. And we further see this pity from Stephen, who prayed for those who were stoning him to death, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." That, my friend, is pity. A second spiritual way we can show mercy, believe it or not, is by confrontation. You know, confronting others about their sin is a part of showing mercy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves," and that simply means who stand in opposition, "if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And what does Jude say? Jude verses 21 through 23, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion make a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Doesn't that sound kind of confrontational to you? "Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Personally, I take no joy in the times I've had to confront an erring brother. In fact, when I know I need to, I start making excuses why I shouldn't. But truth and mercy always want God's best for people. And God can't bless disobedience. And so, hopefully, if I can use myself as an example, hopefully I can be a warning. I can be a part of God's chastening before it gets too severe. Now, when God does chasten, he corrects us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. But again, he uses merciful servants to help with the chastening. Let me say, you want to be, if I can put a plug in, you want to be in a church where there is a certain amount of confrontation. The truth will confront. And what God wants for you and for me to own up to where we are, with the idea that we will turn from our evil ways. But that oftentimes does not happen until and unless we are confronted with that sin. And so what does God do? He uses instruments in his hands to go to people in love, go to people with a merciful, humble spirit and say, can we talk? Can I share my concerns with you? You know, when someone comes to you with such a spirit, don't give them a stiff arm. They're coming in the name of the Lord. And when I come to you on a Sunday morning, can I say it honestly? I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. What about David? Aren't you glad Nathan went to him? Aren't you glad he did? I told him, thou art the man. It was years ago, and I had a man in our church come to me. And he came to our home. And he confronted me. And you know what? What he had to say, I needed to hear. And I am ever grateful for that man in my life who at that moment came to me and said, you know, I think I need to bring this to your attention. Praise God for Christians who are still spirit-led. And if someone comes to you and says, you know, can we talk? Say, thank you, Lord, that you are showing me mercy. And then a third spiritual way we show mercy is by praying. Praying for people. Well, our mercy can be measured by our prayers. Our prayers for the unsaved. Our prayers for their salvation. You are showing mercy, ladies and gentlemen, when you pray for your unsaved family members. You are showing mercy when you're praying for your unsaved friends. You are showing mercy when you're praying for the unsaved co-workers that you see every day. You pray. Prayer and mercy go together. And then prayers for believers who perhaps are walking in disobedience. I think of what James tells us. James chapter 5, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Show me mercy by praying for me. Ladies and gentlemen, we show mercy when we pray for one another. I'll tell you, I need prayer. Sometimes I step back and say, oh, brother, you surely need prayer. How long is your prayer list? Please put me on your prayer list. Let me say this. I like what Ian Bounds said about prayer. He said, four things let us ever keep in mind. God hears prayer. God heeds prayer. God answers prayer. And God delivers by prayer. So I say, why not pray? Are you mercifully praying for others? You know, what a difference. I mean, you see my faults, I see yours, to be very candid with you. I mean, I'm on display every Sunday. Pastor, I don't like your tie. You maybe don't say it, but you maybe think it. You know, do you have another new suit? Someone asked me about my suit last week. And that was fine. I said yes, and I got it half price. Thank you. But you know, it's so easy, and I am as guilty as the next person. It is so easy to find faults, to point out people's faults. Maybe not to that person, but in our own minds. Can I give you some advice as I give myself some advice? Rather than just sit and think and have this critical spirit, say, Lord, help me right now to pray. To pray for that person. Pray that he has better taste in ties, you know? Amen. You know, it bothers me. That's all I see is that tie when he stands before me. I have found that when I have a problem with someone, when I begin to pray for that person, my whole demeanor, my whole attitude, my whole heart, my whole spirit changes toward that person. My attitude changes from being critical to being someone who cares. Ladies and gentlemen, we need people who are willing to care. And then one more spiritual way we can show mercy is by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, such evangelizing is the most merciful thing we can ever do. We declare we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. What does he command us to say? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Every week I try to go door knocking. Usually I'm doing it on a Friday. You know, such opportunities help plant the seed of the gospel. I'm being merciful when I knock on a person's door. Heaven and hell are reality. Eternity is long. Eternity is a long time to suffer the tortures of hell. I say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That, my friend, is showing mercy. Well, how are we doing? Are we showing the mercy of Christ? Through physical deeds, through a spirit-controlled attitude, then spiritually, through showing pity, and when necessary, even being confrontational, then faithfully praying, and then, above all, sharing the gospel, that is being merciful. And how needful. Can you imagine what life would be like if mercy did not exist? I mean, where would we be if people did not show us mercy? I'm thankful for the mercy my wife shows me. You know, I'm thankful for the mercy you show me. What would life be like without mercy? How needful, how necessary to so live, not only for the sake of others. And this brings us to our last point, but for ourselves. For we see under our last point the result of mercy, the axiom, the beatitude. Christ states, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Not only is the giving of mercy a blessing to the one who receives it, but the giving of mercy is a blessing to the one who gives it. Isn't that what Christ is saying? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. David declared this very truth in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26, where he said, "With the merciful, Lord, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright." The way we treat others, the truth, the love, the mercy we show to others, the forgiveness we give to others, is what comes back to us. We reap what we sow. The way we treat others, God treats us. With what judgment we judge, we shall be judged. With what measure we meet, it shall be measured to us again. As we practice mercy, giving, we become more like God. We become more like Christ. And doesn't God bless such a life? But when we don't, we become ever more distant from God. If you're not showing mercy, you are walking at a distance from God. James tells us judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. And Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, before I close, let me be merciful to you by being confrontational. To illustrate how God's mercy works, Jesus told the parable of a slave who had been mercifully forgiven a great debt by the king. But then this forgiven man, who had been forgiven a debt that he could not ever possibly pay, went to a fellow slave who owed him a pittance by comparison, and demanded that every last cent be repaid. In fact, he had him thrown in prison till he should pay the debt. Well, when the king heard of this merciless deed, he said in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 32, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion," that word compassion means mercy, "on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity," that word pity means mercy, "on thee." In other words, shouldest now thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I have had mercy on thee. And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Who are you not forgiving this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, mercy to others in this story, forgiving others, is really a mark of salvation. But when we do not show it, God will discipline us. Why is it a mark of salvation? Because salvation is God showing mercy to us by what? Forgiving us. When we hold back the mercy we need to give to others, God restricts His flow of mercy to us, and we forfeit His blessings. Proverbs 11:17 states, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." Again, chastening and the withholding of blessings attend an unmerciful believer. Oh, I say, let us always, always, always show mercy, even if mercy is not shown in return. It is simply, it's living like Christ. Remember, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You forgive and you let God be the judge. You say, well, I can show that guy, that person, mercy all day long, but why doesn't he show it in return? God will show mercy to you in return. There's someone in my life right now that is not forgiving me. And you know what? There's a heart in me that says, I'm going to get even. That's not fair. That's not right. You know what? The Lord and my wife tell me, show that person mercy. Do you know what? That's the only way that life can be changed. You don't change someone. I don't change someone because of force. Because I'm gonna bug you until you change. That doesn't change anyone. It just makes the situation worse. But when we show mercy, when someone isn't showing mercy to us, we have God on our side, who then begins to do that work of grace. I can't change that heart, but Jesus can. And he, in his time and in his way, will bring a transformation to pass. And what does mercy do? The practice of mercy unites us with both God and man. But the failure in mercy separates us from God and from man, to whom we are commanded to show mercy. I've written here, mercilessness divides the brethren. It divides friends. It divides family. I think of Micah's words of admonition. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Which tells us, again, mercy and humility always go together. God delights in mercy, and so does our fellow man. What is our theme for the year? Let gratitude be awakened. Let humility be deepened. Let love/mercy be quickened. This morning, we have defined mercy. We have given examples of mercy. We have said this is the result of mercy. Oh, let us be merciful people. Let us be God-like, faithful people. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we sing, O God, my Father. Blessed, happy are the merciful. If you're unforgiving, if you're not willing to show mercy, I can promise you, you are not a happy camper. But happy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let me say this morning. You can receive God's mercy today, for salvation, for forgiveness, and for a transformation of heart that will live out, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know what? The Lord wants to give you a heart this morning that's merciful.